This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. But before we start again, just another gentle reminder that during Salah, if your phone goes off with adhan or anything, then you're obligated. You are obligated to turn it off. It's not an issue of recommendation, not a suggestion. You're obligated to turn it off. And if that means you have to actually break your prayer and go turn it off, then that's what you do. However, if it's in your pocket and you just need to press around to silence it, then that does not invalidate your prayer. So you can go ahead and do that and your prayer stays fine. But if you left your phone at the end of the message somewhere, you're praying and it goes off, you're obligated to break your prayer and go turn it off and then come back again, because you don't have the right to make it difficult for others to focus. It doesn't matter whether the phone is doing adhan, whether it's Abdul Basit reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, doesn't matter what it is, because people are trying to focus on their salah. So just another reminder, please remember, and we're always going to have this problem for Isha in our masjid here, especially during summertime, because we use an angle that causes Isha to be a little bit earlier. So it's expected that your phone's going to go off for Isha a little bit later, like during salah. So just kind of try and remember to do that. Jazakumullah khair, to make it easier for us to stay focused. Last year I did I said I'm going to try and get one night, just one night out of the 120 days of summer, just one night where we don't have a phone go off, and I failed to do that. It didn't happen once. So this year, inshallah, I'm going to try and at least achieve a few nights where everyone's able to silence it and we can go through Isha without distraction. Inshallah, tonight, يروي الإمام ابن أبي عاصم في كتابه السنة والإمام الأصبهاني في كتاب الحجة بسند حسن عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الحديث tonight has a reasonable chain of narration in the Kitab of Sunnah li Ibn Abi Asim and Al Hujjah li Imam Al-Asbahani. These are tertiary books of hadith, so not a lot of a hadith that exist in them solely actually have any degree of authenticity. And this is something that you study if you study a little bit of hadith and mustalah, that these books are tertiary books of hadith. They are later books. So most hadith in them should exist in other books in order for them to be authentic. They very rarely will have a hadith in them that's only in them that is authentic. And this is one of them, which is why I'm narrating it. And this is the final hadith that I'm going to narrate within the theme of understanding Iman. Starting tomorrow, we're going to start a new theme, maybe something that we'll do for a week and a half. And then we'll obviously move on to talk about Hajj, because Hajj will be close maybe 2 weeks into that. So I'm going to pick something tonight, inshallah, and then tomorrow we'll have a new theme to talk about. And I'm going to end this theme of understanding Iman, which took maybe 3 or 4 weeks, if not more. And I read a lot of a hadith for you. I tried to help everyone understand that Iman is more than just a general belief, just something that we abstractly accept, or an acknowledgement of a statement about the universe. No, Iman is an internalization. It's when you internalize a number of principles and truths about the world around you that will reflect in your behavior. You're going to mirror that in the way that you live. So it has to be something that you internalize, as in it enters your subconsciousness, and then it reflects on your day-to-day interactions and on your behavior. That's what Iman actually is. It's something way more deep, much more profound and meaningful than just an acceptance of a truth. And that's what I know. It's way more than that. That's why the word faith and belief in English don't really do Iman its due diligence. It does not do Iman any justice at all. Which is why I chose this this theme. And this hadith where he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As tells us, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you will achieve a full state of Iman until their whims and desires are aligned with the teachings that I have brought. Until you are able to shift your whims and desires to a point where they are now aligned with Allah's teachings. You see, that's not the normal state. The normal state is we all want to do things that are haram, but because we're told that we shouldn't, we don't, and we don't religiously, and we stay away from them, but a part of us on the inside will love nothing more than to do them. But we don't. Full Iman is when you are able to perform enough tazkiyah within yourself, when you internalize Iman profoundly enough to the point where you're able to affect your primal instincts, your whims and desires, so that you're no longer wishing for haram but holding yourself back. No, now what you wish, what you love, what you look forward to are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love. They're aligned with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the highest degree. That is the highest degree. That is very high. That is like, I don't know, galaxies away from me in terms of what you're looking forward to. But that's what you're supposed to be aiming for. You're aiming for that. Not only am I going to control my whims and desires, not only am I not going to listen to them and I'm going to do the right thing, and now I'm going to actually slowly shift this whole ship around. I'm going to turn the story and I'm going to get myself to understand why it is that we don't do the haram. And convince it that it's not helpful and teach it to love what is. So now my nafs loves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And that's the highest of statuses that exist. That's what he says, alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, he tells us, لا يؤمن أحدكم. I'm narrating this hadith because of that first piece, not because of the second piece. Because he said, that. He chose, none of you have true iman until one and two and three, until you love Allah and His Prophet and Islam and Muslims, until حَتَّى تَحَابُّ, until you love each other. What he taught us, alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to manifest through love. You have to manifest through change, internal change. Change some people, they don't perform. Forgive me, they don't perform zina because it's haram. But parts of them want to. No, full iman is when you're disgusted of it. When the concept nauseates you. When the idea of haram is just disgusting. You want nothing to do with that. All you find beautiful is the concept of halal and the act of halal. Haram is just horrible. Everything about it is something that you want to stay away. That takes time though. To go from this to that takes time. It does. But that's what he taught, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's what iman is. And I hope that this theme يعني, has been a benefit, inshallah, to you. Forgive me if I made mistakes or said anything wrong. Well, inshallah, next theme, we'll try and do better. And we'll start something new, bidhnillahi ta'ala, tomorrow, salat al-isha. يروي الإمام ابن أبي عاصم في كتابه السنة والإمام الأصبهاني في كتاب الحجة بسند حسن عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم